This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
The Wall Street Journal profiled two economists, all right? Jacob Schlesinger profiled two economists, one named William Darity Jr. and the other named Derek Hamilton. Both of these guys are college professors. One is at Ohio State and the other is at Duke, all right? And then both of them advocate for guaranteed jobs, government guaranteed jobs, reparations, slave reparations. They also guarantee, they argue now for guaranteed income. They argue for trust funds, baby bonds. And here's the thing about it. These guys are advising Democrat presidential candidates. So you see how this works, right? You go to college and you enter the world of leftist indoctrination at almost every university. And you get there because they employ economists, economics professors who have theories like these guys do. Guaranteed jobs, slavery reparations, and all of it. And so what happens now is, as a college kid, you wind up ingesting all of this. You graduate. You got all this debt. That's all why also the candidates now advocate erasing your debt. But you have learned under the tutelage of guys like Darity and Hamilton. For decades, these two have toiled in obscurity. They have criticized mainstream economists and politicians for failing to address racial inequality, and they've touted more radical remedies of their own. For decades, they've just they've been hiding. But now, with the 2020 presidential campaign underway and liberal Democrats ascendant, the two economists are in the spotlight. Thrust in the middle of an intra-party debate over how much to embrace big government and a race-oriented message. Think about that for us, just on that point alone. You have these guys who for years, they were gone, never heard of them, didn't know where they were. And now all of a sudden they are mainstream. The reason why you never heard of them is because there was a time when the Democrat Party would have said, this kind of kookiness, socialism, can't have anything to do with mainstream Democrats. But not anymore. Not anymore. At a conference earlier this year for liberal activists, New Jersey Senator Count Grantstangela Cory Booker told Mr. Hamilton that he laid the foundation for a lot of the things that we're doing, including baby bonds. The idea that every person in America would get a bond when they're a baby. All right? Former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke name checks Mr. Hamilton, Professor Hamilton, in television interviews, calling him an extraordinary economist who talks about a more conscious capitalism. You wonder why the Democrat Party has moved so far to the left. You wonder why so many young people are now openly embracing socialism. The answer is because colleges are putting professors like this in the classroom. Mr. Hamilton, an Ohio State University professor, has advised the campaigns of Senator Kamala Harris on middle-class tax cuts, Senator Bernie Sanders on job guarantees, and Massachusetts Senator and America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, on student debt relief. Think of this amazing fact of where we are right now with the Democrat Party. The old guard economists who shaped the past quarter century of Democratic policies have expressed a lot of skepticism with these kind of ideas. Obama White House chief economist Jason Furman, who was advised president, said, you know, a lot of these progressive ideas, they're great for the overall debate, but many of the specific ideas may turn out to be too large or too poorly thought out to work well. Now, the other guy is a Duke University professor, and they have now gained so much prominence because they have decried the incrementalism that they associate with presidents like Clinton and Obama. More Democrat leaders are now talking about their ideas of guaranteed jobs, guaranteed wages, reparations, baby bonds, guaranteed income, wiping away student loan debt. These ideas, which used to be on the kind of, you know, you kept those ideas out of the way because they were nuts, not too nuts anymore. The whole strategy, and I've said this for a long time, the whole strategy has always been, and Karl Marx wrote about this in the Communist Manifesto, so this is not a conspiracy theory, this is the truth, right? Karl Marx wrote about this in the Communist Manifesto, that you need to have a free public education system so that you can teach them the ways of the state. You can indoctrinate them. And we do. We have it. And it's getting younger and younger. I mean, politicians are now pushing for universal preschool and universal daycare. The minute a kid's born, basically, then they'll become a prodigy of the state in some way, shape, or form and enter a paid-for system that will take care of the kid. And look, for a lot of working parents, it's a dream come true. The idea that you'd have free universal pre-K starting at 3 years old, for example. That there you go. Now the kid's going into a... They have this in New York City. They have it. They're trying to get it in Philadelphia for every child. When you go there, though, it's the indoctrination can begin even earlier. And then by the time you get to college, you've been told about, obviously, climate change and socialism. You've heard this your entire life. So when you get there and you're at Duke, one of the most expensive and elitist universities in the country, and you're sitting there and your professor is up there advocating to you, who's just, you know, going and spending, I don't know what, 40 grand a year, whatever Duke is, how you need to have all these socialist policies. And if you don't agree with that, it's because you have too much white privilege. The kids in the room go, yeah, he's right. It sounds to make sense. Everything makes sense in a classroom setting. Everything does. Everything makes sense in a classroom setting. When you sit there and you listen to a professor at the front of the room talk about socialism and all the great that socialism can do and all the wonders of the world in a classroom, it makes perfect sense. You go, yeah, yeah, get it. Great. But then you go in the real world and you realize that none of this stuff works. And it doesn't work also because of the fact that in socialist countries, they have to take away freedom. In 2010, these professors laid out a vision for baby bonds, a plan to give most Americans at birth a government-funded account with a guaranteed return of about 2% a year. Those amounts would be calibrated to a family's net worth. Their estimated annual cost for the federal government, $60 billion a year. A bargain, they said, compared with $300 billion to $400 billion a year allocated for their asset-promoting programs such as the mortgage interest deduction. They've advocated guaranteed jobs for all with a minimum salary of $20,000 a year per person. The estimated cost of that jobs program, $543 billion, which they said would be offset by the reduced need for unemployment insurance and federal welfare payments. The fact that these ideas are now mainstream within the Democrat Party, you understand how this works, right? You understand the process by which we got here, how we got here, and it's not hard to see. It begins in school. The indoctrination begins there. Those professors then become advisors to presidents. Young college graduates who were their students now become activists, and they believe all this, and they push all this out there, and on the scale continues. Meanwhile, you'll never find a Democrat advocating for school choice. Why not? Well, on the one hand, they'll say the teachers' union, because we have to put more money in public schools. On the other hand, it's because public schools are truly, and I don't mean every public school, and I certainly don't mean every public teacher, right? I know we have a lot of those who listen. You might be one, and I don't mean you, but there are a lot of them. And that is where the indoctrination occurs. So if you give somebody a voucher, something Cory Booker used to advocate for, oh, yes. Let's go back a long time, shall we, to Newark, New Jersey. Let's go back to 2001 when Cory Booker was first coming on the scene, 2002. He was a guy running for mayor of Newark, and he was going to give out vouchers. He believed in school choice so that you could go to every child, didn't have to put up with the failing Newark public schools. They go to any school they want. Cory Booker doesn't support that stuff anymore. And the reason why is because Democrats understand that if you give people the ability to go to a private school that doesn't engage in the state-mandated dogma, the indoctrination, well, that destroys their overall big goal of one day transforming this country to socialism. That's why you can't go to another school. It's why you got to be stuck with the school that you're at. And that's why the state mandates curriculum and why the federal government mandates curriculum. Why you have all those things that happen, because it's all a systematic plan. Otherwise, why would professors like this be teaching economics? They're teaching economics because they really believe this stuff, and then they're advising presidential candidates. So they're not kooks on the sidelines of a campus who are just writing papers in the back room. You know, these are guys who are out there in the classroom. And the people listening to this then go to brunch and tell their friends about it, and it all makes sense. If we give everybody a baby bond, all our answers, all the problems of the world are solved. Bernie Sanders, who will be in Philadelphia today, when will he stop talking about socialism?
You know what, Chuck? Here's a promise I will make to you. When the poor get richer, and the rich get poorer, when all of our people have health care is the right, when we are leading the world in the fight against climate change, you know what? I will change what I am saying. So it's not me that's being repetitious. It is what is going on in society continues to favor the people who have the wealth and the power, while all over this country, people are working two or three jobs. And I understand that I keep hammering away at that issue, because I believe that in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, we don't need 45 million people struggling with student debt. Kids can't afford to go to college. Those are the issues I will continue to talk about, and those are the issues we'll win on.
See? And obviously, he's got a lot of people that support him. He's a mainstream candidate now. And now you know why. You know where it begins, and you know how we got here. It's not too hard to see. Also, you have people like Joe Biden now apologizing for everything. Apologizing for Obama-era deportations. Yes, Joe Biden now apologizing for deportations and detentions. And I should say this, refuses to apologize for that, but now saying he doesn't believe in borders. Doesn't believe in borders. And he's changing his tune all the time. And then you have people like Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, who would tell the concerned coal miner that the Green New Deal is just, they're just bipartisan ideas. We don't really want to take away your coal job. It's just an idea, just a bipartisan idea. Don't you worry, coal miners in Pennsylvania. These are just bipartisan ideas. No Republicans agree with them, but they're still somehow bipartisan. Cut nine.
You started the day in Pittsburgh, and we went down to Uniontown, not about an hour south of Pittsburgh, to talk to a coal miner. And he's been mining for 15 years. He was a longtime Democrat, flipped his vote to President Trump in 2016, and is concerned when he hears Democrats talking about the Green New Deal.
Right.
He feels it threatens his job. What's your response to something like that, to what he has to say?
Well, I explained to him that the Green New Deal is just some bipartisan ideas that will actually help the economy in his state grow. It's involved with infrastructure, more mass transit, more high-speed rail, more rural broadband, more efficient electric grid, all things that would help Pennsylvania. It's about green jobs. It's about teaching young people STEM subjects so they're ready to take green jobs, but also investing in industries like wind, solar, geothermal, hydropower, and biofuels to create opportunities for innovation and growth in those sectors. And last, it's about clean air and clean water, something that they desperately need in Pennsylvania. So what I would commit to as president is I'd make sure we take any worker who's underemployed or unemployed, anyone who's displaced by trying to tackle global climate change head on, with more manufacturing jobs in the energy sector. So why not replace coal mining with a green energy manufacturing in that state, with
why
wind
not?
Turbine manufacturer, with solar panel manufacturer, or even with manufacturing building materials that are LEED certified and helpful to tackle
or ponies.
Toy ponies. And he knows this, I'm sure.
Board games.
It's the greatest threat to humanity, and when we have the wildfires in California and the droughts and the tornadoes in the Midwest and the flooding everywhere, people are dying, and you have to address this challenge as the great threat to humanity it is.
Thank you for that answer, that long 10-minute rambling answer. See, my follow-up question to her would have been, and did the coal miner just start laughing in your face, or did he wait for you to leave to start laughing?
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.